Well, it is good to see everyone back here again this afternoon. For the lesson this afternoon, it will be got an open topic, and it's typically I try and put together lessons that is either something that I'm usually going through in the middle of, or something that just kind of enters in my mind, and I kind of want to learn more about it, or maybe something that might be suitable to the season, or maybe something that we want to have a reminder of. This particular case, this is really something that as a congregation I think we do very well with. It's something that I think it doesn't really, I guess, bear reminding for any particular reason other than it's just good to always kind of keep it fresh in our minds. For a short time this afternoon, we're going to be talking about unity and maturity in the body of Christ. Our reading will come from Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 13. And this is a lesson that has been given before, but once again, I just think it might be beneficial for everyone as something something that I was edifying to the congregation by just kind of speaking on it this afternoon. But here beginning in Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 13. It says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. But we need to kind of ask ourselves, built up to what? What are we being built up to? And here in verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we are to be working together until we become unified, until we become one body and one faith. You can imagine like a single organism that lives and moves in harmony with each other. Every appendage working together, so like the body of Christ, from elder to new convert, to continue to mature in the knowledge and ways of Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Now in verse 12, we learn that church leaders are to equip believers to serve in order to build up the community of believers. Now this verse adds three additional reasons. First, Paul wants believers to live in unity. This unity is based on the essentials of our faith. It does not imply compromising necessary beliefs or a lack of beliefs. As I said before, this was a lesson that was given, not too long ago, when one of our themes for the monthly themes that we've had. And I know that many of us probably are friends or maybe even have family members that are in different congregations, maybe not of the Church of Christ. And I'm sure that through our lives we may have heard of so many other congregations out there that may sacrifice scriptural doctrine for the sake of congregational security, or maybe for the sake of maintaining peace among its members. Now, of course, we know it's true that we are to work together, that we are to believe and worship in one accord. But when it comes to necessary belief, lack of belief or poor doctrinal values, we cannot have the mentality of, well, I guess we'll just agree to disagree. There are some things where, there are some situations where maybe what we think may or may not be important. There are certain things that that are very important and we need to stand our ground on until the truth can be found. And that's the important That's the important thing, is we always need to be looking for the truth. We don't need to argue or to remain steadfast in our own belief just because it's what we believe. We always need to be open to the truth and follow wherever that takes us. Situations like just agreeing to disagree are a good example of why elders, leaders, in the structure of church government is important. Or those who just help guide the congregation. To give direction, to give guidance, and to make sure the congregation continues to work and worship as one body in unity. I can say that when it was first decided for us to have these themes and have these studies throughout the month to kind of guide the direction of the teachings and of the lessons that we have, has done many things. It's helped those who are preaching to maybe study certain things that normally they wouldn't have tried to touch. It's kind of held us more accountable of the things that we study, making sure that we are sharp and that we understand what we present to the congregation. And it challenges us to, as I said before, kind of step out what we normally would attempt to study. But also the ability to preach on things that are beneficial to the congregation. There are many things that we have studied and many people that have taught things in the lessons that we've had in the past few years that possibly have never been preached upon. And if so, I'm not sure where. You go to many other congregations and you may not hear lessons on certain topics that we've heard here in this congregation, which I think is a great thing. So to be able to give guidance and to make sure that the congregation continues to work and worship as one body in unity is very important. Now second, believers are to grow in knowledge of the Son of God. The focus of church leaders is preparing Christians to serve others in practical ways. And yet knowledge is a critically important part of the effective service. Now of course we can't just depend on teachers and church leaders to teach us all there is to pertaining to God and His law in our faith. It's important for us to listen attentively and to be present whenever the church congregates so that we may learn and we may be edified by us coming together. But once the invitation song is sung and once the dismissal prayer has been said, it doesn't stop there. We are to have this in our daily lives as well. We are to study and to improve our knowledge in regards to our faith. One thing we learn as we study God's Word and learn of our Savior is that we, as the individual, are responsible for our own salvation, and that God's plan and our Savior's sacrifice can only save us and help us if we're willing to help ourselves. Christ Jesus has His hand reached down for us. He has His hand reaching for us to help us. He has offered us salvation, but we as the individual have to be willing to take it. We have to reach up and accept it. He gives us a way to Him through the church. He gives us gifts through teachers and leaders and other members of like precious faith. We have to accept our position of accountability. We must be responsible for our own learning as well. We must be able to not only help ourselves, but also we have to be willing to help others when needed. We must be able to explain our beliefs to others. We must always be looking for opportunities to help bring others to God and to help bring others to the light. We should always be looking for opportunities and being able to better understand opportunities. Those that preach and lead the church will not always be at our side to give us answers when approached by individuals asking about our faith. You know, we live in a time with great technology, and Even so, even though we may have the ability to, wouldn't it be nice if anytime somebody just had a question or asked you about something, be like, hold on a second, let me get so-and-so on the line because they know more about this, and just let them have a conversation. We can't do that. And even if we could, even if it was socially acceptable, we really shouldn't. It is up to us to be able to explain our beliefs and our faith. We have to accept our position of accountability. Those that preach and lead the church will not always be at our side, as said before. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that lies within us. In order to be able to do this, we must study and become more knowledgeable in God's Word. It must be trained and imprinted into us. Third, Paul wants every believer to grow in maturity. Obviously, Paul is not referring to biology, but instead he means spiritual growth, which includes increases in the fruit of the Spirit, as mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, and our love for both God and others, as mentioned in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. The end goal is to be full of Christ, or the fullness of Christ, as mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, as well as chapter 3, verse 19. Paul often wrote of the importance of maturity for believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, it says, "Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults." Also in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that to God will make clear to you." And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Add that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." So as we grow in maturity, as we dwell on God's Word, and as we study His Word and the Scriptures, we will be able to better rightly divide His Word. We will be able to discern what these teachings are trying to truly teach us. Sure, there are some scriptures that you can take completely at face value. It means exactly what it says. But as you grow, you will start to be able to better understand certain teachings that before may not have been easily understandable. Brother Dwayne mentioned earlier, before we started, that I better not keep you too long today, and this is a short lesson, but once again, I think it's important for us to come over these things from time to time. But briefly in closing, just to kind of recap, through this month, or through the month that we had this lesson, and even so, the past few months that we've been talking about it, everything seems to just intertwine with each other. All these thoughts seem to interlink, and everything seems to flow. It's almost like it's perfect, because it is. God's Word is, in its existence, is ever intertwining with each other. All these thoughts, all these ideas, they all link and intersect perfectly with one another. And we've learned quite a bit out of this small but very significant portion of God's Word. And I believe we have been given a little more clarity into the mind of Christ Jesus by us studying what we've studied in the past few months. We've heard lessons that may have stepped on a toe or two. I've mentioned before that it might be better to have wheelbarrows in the back for whenever we have to make it back to the parking lot, because sometimes our toes have been stepped on. But it's better, very beneficial to the congregation. There are times where we need to hear certain things that we might not want to hear. And I thank the brethren for that and the lessons that I've heard over the past few months. They're very important. We've heard lessons and words that have placed the responsibility of our own spiritual safety pretty much smack dab in our own laps. And we realize that for us to achieve certain things in regards to God's love and His mercy and grace, that responsibility is on us as individuals. So what might we learn from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13? Well, I believe Paul wanted us to learn that God wants us as believers to live in unity. That Christ Jesus expects us as His church to grow in knowledge of Him, the Son of God. And I believe that we are to learn, and lastly, that He wants His church to grow in maturity as well, so that we might embody Him and His teachings completely. That we as His church may be a clear reflection and embodiment of Him in this world. And I believe as a congregation, we are striving to do so. Will we ever be there? It's kind of like saying, will we ever be just like Christ? I don't believe so. We can never attain to reach the pinnacle of our existence that way. But every day we should continue to strive to be more and more so. Before we close, I have just a few questions for us to think about. Really think about them and just answer them to yourselves. A little bit of self-reflection is always important. In what ways do we experience Christ's presence in our church experience? How might we as a church attain even more completely the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? And what part might you play as our congregation grows to be more like Christ? I can say that I'm very thankful for everyone that's here, for all the members that make up this congregation. I'm thankful for the amazing truth of who we are in Christ, both individually and as His church. I'm thankful for the wonder of being the body of Christ together, even the fullness of Christ. And so, once again, just a little portion of God's Word for us to reflect on, something that I think that, once again, there are many congregations out there that don't have the benefit of some of the teachers that we have in the congregation. And I can say I'm very thankful for that. And I'm very thankful that we decided so many years ago to have a structured process in our lesson giving and our preaching. And I think we have benefited from it immensely. And I continue to be thankful that for our preachers and for our teachers here in the congregation. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, please come forward as we stand and sing a song of invitation.